واسطه حساب حساب کنیم. اما اون رو هم کردن این گوشه شخصی میبریم.
پس چه چه دیست؟
من شکل خود رو بیست چه که کسیم رو بیه و چه پتیت نام باقیه بیه و بیشیم این رو
جست So this is we're going to examine the Shishashtaka prayers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are eight of them because Ashtaka, Ashta means eight. These eight prayers, we find them in the very last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. In that chapter, Sri Mahaprabhu is sitting with two of his most confidential disciples, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. And in that chapter, he is reciting these prayers for them, one after another. I'll just read how it goes, just starting Anjalila 28. In great jubilation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, My dear Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, know from me that chanting the holy names is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali, the process of worshipping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent and attains shelter of the lotus, shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And that's, of course, in Bengali. And then in Sanskrit, he quotes the verse, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopam Gastam Parashunam Vyajnaya Sankirtana Prayaya Vyajantihi Sumedasaha, which is basically the Sanskrit version of what he just said. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons, Sumedasaha, with very good intelligence, perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of God who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he's Krishna himself. He's accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. That's, of course, from Bhagavatam. And then Mahaprabhu continues in Bengali, Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be free from all undesirable habits. Sarva anartha nashana. It brings about the destruction of all anarthas, unwanted things. Artha is something valuable, anartha is the opposite term. This is the means of awakening all good fortune, sarva shubha udaya, and initiating the flow of waves of love for Krishna. Krishna Primera Ulasa, Krishna Primera. So here's these things there that destroys undesirable things, wakens all good fortune, and initiates the flow of love of Krishna. And then, in Sanskrit, he now recites the first of the Shishastika prayers. And this is what happens in this chapter. He recites the prayer in Sanskrit. Then sometimes there's a discussion, a little bit in Bengali, about it. At the very end, it gets very long explication of it. And what is also very interesting is that it also discusses Krishna's cover tells what Lord Chaitanya is feeling when he recites these prayers, with the different prayers, which is very revelatory. Now, I have to tell you that this is Prabhupada's translation, It's very quite different from the ones that we used to have in the early days, that early job that he did that was handed out to us. And that is many temples is today the one that people recites. But this is another later translation, better to follow this one. So if you're used to the old one, I don't know what they use here, but still to this day, the old one that Prabhupada originally handed out is the one people are familiar with, is this one. So this one, let's say this one. I'll say something, you repeat after me. Chetodarpana Marajanam. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Sreya Kaira Vachanjika Vitaranam Vidya Vadu Jivanam Anandam Mudivardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritashvadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. I broke it up that way because that's the actual sense of the thing. Because here he is describing the seven benedictions or blessings that come about from Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So when you look at this, so here's Prabhupada's translation. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna. Of course, the translation begins at the end. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. That's that part there. Which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every stem. So that's the translation. Now, if you look at the Sanskrit, I said the real sentence is Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Let there be victory for Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Triumph, Vijayate. May it be victorious. May it prevail over everything. But the way this is structured is this Shri Krishna Sankirtanam is the subject. Let there be victory for Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. And then these phrases in the beginning all modify Sankirtanam. So this is a very sophisticated piece of poetry here. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Something, you don't know what it is, but whatever it does, it cleanses the mirror of consciousness or the heart. So what it modifies is Sankirtanam, but you don't get that until the end. So it kind of holds you in suspense. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Okay, something, whatever it is, does this thing that cleanses the mirror of the heart. Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapamam. It extinguishes the great fire of bhava, material existence. Something does that. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. It spreads the moonshine which causes the white lotus of good fortune to blossom. That's what it does. Vidya Vadu Jivanam. I'll go back and explain these a little further, but here this is translated as the life and soul of all education. Ananda Mudivardhanam, that's the next thing. It increases the ocean of ananda. Pratipadam Purnam Ritashvaranam, at every step, it gives us a full taste of nectar. Sarvatma Snapanam, it is the bathing of the entire self. And then there's just Param, supreme, it's like almost like a separate exclamation point. Exclamation, Param, supreme. Vijayase Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, and then the whole thing coalesces. Like that. So if there is the cultivation of Sankirtan, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his book on the Shishastika, that the meaning of this word Sankirtan is the word san. Kirtan means chanting, and san means, among other things, together. So san kirtan. But the other meaning of san, this prefix, it indicates something that is completely or thoroughly done. So when san kirtan, or the chanting of the holy names, is done to its complete fulfillment, that's also Sankirtan. So it means both things. That is done. It can mean, I mean, in ISKCON, Sankirtan came to mean book distribution. And even the meaning changed to that. When I was a new GBC in Detroit, there was a brahmachari named Arjuna. I was talking to the temple president, and that brahmachari is now known as Brajabihari. I was talking to the temple, and he was taking, he was the one that would take some devotees out to distribute books in the airport. And he came up to the temple president and said, "Can I have the van? We want to go out and distribute some books in the airport." And the temple president says, "No, we need it for Sankirtan," which meant they were going out to some baseball game and selling pennants or hats or something in the lots. And I realized then that the meaning of Sankirtan unfortunately changed to mean, you know, whatever you go out and collect money, that was Sankirtan. So there was a little Dharma Shaglani in those days. I have to put these on, huh?
It means
that you're cultivating the names of God, kirtan, chanting the names of God, son, in the association of devotees. If you're chanting in the temple with devotees together, is singing, that's sankirtan. Doesn't have to necessarily be outdoors. When you go outdoors, you're just increasing the number of people in the sun. You know, you're bringing more together, so it's more intense that way. And that you're cultivating the holy name or practicing Krishna consciousness, not as a solitary activity, but in the association of devotees. That's also Sankirtan. All these things are part of the meaning of this Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So bear that whole meaning in mind. When this, and then now there's a progression here. The first thing that happens, the first benediction, is that the consciousness, chaita, can be the heart, the mind, consciousness, is like a mirror. When that mirror is clean, you can see yourself and you can see the Lord. We're about the expansion of consciousness, and because our consciousness is covered by the modes of material nature, we're only fitfully and dimly aware. But when the consciousness becomes cleansed, then everything comes into view. People who haven't practiced the process of or any process of yoga that's done in a bona fide way, the molds of passion and the molds of ignorance should be going down. The mode of goodness becomes prominent. In the mode of goodness, it's then possible to have some understanding about yourself as a spiritual being and to begin to have direct perception of spiritual reality. Prabhupada points out that he says in the Bhagavad Gita that it used to be the standard of advancement was the mode of goodness, but now the standard of advancement is the mode of passion. All your education is so that you can get a good job, big enough to pay off your student loans, of course, but then also to make more money. That's why it's necessary to get an education, for economic development. And there is nothing higher than that in people's minds. So naturally, those kinds of people, and then because there's always the result of the mode of passion is misery, then to alleviate the misery, people take to various kinds of intoxicants and things like that. And so then the mode of goodness increases. So those kind of people are just not suitable for direct perception of spiritual reality, and therefore they say it's a myth. But that's just, they're just reporting on their own ignorance and their own inability. There's a science of spiritual knowledge, and this is the science. You just have to do something to yourself. So that's the first thing. Chetodarpana marginam. If this is not happening, then we're doing something wrong. But if it progresses, bhava maha davagni nirvapanam, that one should begin to feel relief from the suffering of material existence. It's a great forest fire. You're trapped like a deer running around where the blazing fires everywhere. We're like that. We're surrounded by death, fear, destruction, terrorists, bad weather, climate change, whatever it is, there's always something that makes it undergo the repeated birth and death in the material world. This stops. That stops. Bhava maha davagni. A great blazing fire. It extinguishes. Shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam. Now here's a very interesting kairava, which is translated here as a white lotus, is technically a lily. In fact, it's the night blooming white lily. A lotus opens up in the daytime under the sunshine and closes at night. But the kairava is closed during the day and it opens up at night. So that's the kairava. It's this, and it's very fragrant. When it opens up at night, it fills the whole forest with its fragrance. So here, one's shreya, ultimate good fortune. There's prayas and shreyas. Prayas is an immediate benefit and shreyas is ultimate benefit. Your ultimate good fortune, that is to say, your establishment of a relationship with Krishna. This, what this signifies, so Sankirtan is like that moonlight that comes down, and your ultimate good fortune is like a lily that's closed up and now it opens up. So, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, that's what it does. And then the next one is very interesting, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. You know what the word vadu means? Bride or a young wife. So they're actually buried in here, there's a conjugal metaphor. Vidya, knowledge, is like a bride or a young wife. And jivana, who enlivens or gives life to that bride, that is to say, the husband. So here, Sankirtan is like the enlivener of Vidya, who is like the bride. And so here's this kind of, and it says in the, said Vadu in the word for word, wife. Here is the life and soul of all education, Vidya. But that education is actually your education in the arts of satisfying Krishna in so many ways. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. This is the ambudi is an ocean of ananda, of bliss, increasing. So the oceans are usually have their fixed limits, they don't increase. But here the ocean keeps on increasing without any end, actually. There's no upper limit to ananda. Love of Krishna has no upper limit, and ananda has no upper limit. So, and therefore, pratipadam purnam ritasvara, and then at every step of the way, there is ashvadanam, a taste given of purna amrita, full nectar. So this is this gradually intensification of Krishna consciousness, step by step. These benedictions come about. Sadhavatma snapanam. It is the bathing of the entire self. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, at this point you may have a doubt. If such happiness and such joy is there in this, won't it make you selfish or greedy or something like that? He says, no, because it purifies the entire self. Generally, if we have some intense material pleasure, we become addicted, we want to keep it from others, it brings about bad things, covetousness and pride and all these things. But here, no, it completely purifies the whole of our being, totally. And then param, it is the highest thing, transcendental thing. And therefore, this is the benediction. Let there be vijayate, victory for Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the, this is like this here. Yeah, I think it's in here. This particular verse signifies Shraddha. I've given you this this document here, which has this verse, Ado Shraddha. These are the in chronological order. The last word, kramaha, is sequence or chronological order of the development of prema in a practitioner. A sadhakanam, of a sadhaka, one who's a practitioner, performing the discipline of practice of Krishna consciousness. This is the sequence of steps leading up to prema. And the Shashastika prayers is describing these steps. Ado Shraddha, in the beginning, there is Shraddha, that is to say, a preliminary faith or interest. Something makes you come. And be inquisitive about Krishna consciousness or attracted in some way. Oh, there may be something to this. And if that Shraddha fructifies a little bit, then the next thing there will be sadhu sangha. There'll be the association with devotees. And then if that sadhu sangha comes about nicely, then bhajana kriya. One will take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. Now you can see in the word for word, when Prabhupada is translated, he said this bhajana kriya, performance of devotional service to Krishna, surrendering to the spiritual master and being encouraged by the association of devotees so that initiation takes place. In other words, bhajana kriya means a commitment to the path. That's what initiation means, that you've been made a commitment. And therefore following the practice seriously in a steady way. And so if that bhajana kriya then is fruitful, tata, after that, anartha nirvritti, the unwanted things in the heart, anarthas, go away. They are exterminated. Prabhupada once said in a lecture, he said, are lust and greed and anger disappearing from your heart? He said, if they're not, you're doing something wrong. You should see this. These things should be decreasing. And if they're not, then I should look to what I'm doing wrong. Because there is a practice here if you're serious about these things. We'll discuss some of these later. We want to be all our anarthas to go away, except Krishna, leave this one alone, or something, you know. These kind of things happen, and then we park in one place for 14 years. Anartha nirvritti, there should be that. And then if anartha nirvritti, nishta, one becomes fixed. You may, listening to Prabhupada's lectures, he used to tell us to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. When you're fixed up, nishta is not really that advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, but once one reaches that stage of nishta, then pretty much it's very rare for somebody to fall down. That's what it means by definition. It can happen, but it's pretty rare. So nishta, one becomes, how does he say here, well, he just calls it firm faith here. But it means fixed in Krishna consciousness. There's a book which I thought I brought. Yeah. The Madhurya Kandamani of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described all of these quite elaborately. So then the nishta, and then ruchi, a taste for Krishna consciousness. That means the taste is that when you have a taste for Krishna consciousness, you naturally would rather perform a Krishna conscious activity than any possible competing material thing. You just like it better. Even at nishta, you have to preach to yourself sometimes, but in ruchi, it's natural. For the ruchi. And then asakti. After that, there arises asakti. He calls this attachment. Asakti is stronger than attachment. It's addiction. One becomes addicted to Krishna consciousness. That's asakti. And then, after this asakti, there's bhava, which the spiritual feelings begin. Externally, there are symptoms of ecstasy, faltering in the voice, crying, paralysis, all these different things. Can take place. These are all the symptoms of bhava, very, very strong spiritual emotions. The symptoms of bhava, like your hair standing on end, that happens if you're walking down the street at night and suddenly very close a dog starts barking, your hair will rise up. It's just the strength of the emotion is something that causes. Or that by suddenly getting some very good news or some very bad news, tears may come from your eyes and spontaneous. It's just the strength of the feelings. But these are spiritual feelings that are so strong that they cause these physical reactions. So that's bhava. And then finally, prema. When bhava become, when these different feelings of exercise become mixed and enriched by various processes described in Nectar of Devotion, how this goes about, then there's actually prema, or pure love for Krishna. So this is a rehearsal in this verse of these steps. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur does something very interesting. I've made a little chart here, if you've seen this one, this little chart here, that he says that the in this book of his, this Bhajana Rahasya, the secrets of Bhajan, you could say, he points out that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra consists of eight pairs of names. And the first pair indicates the first verse of the Shishastika. And so each pair of names corresponds to one verse of the Shishastika prayers. And then he also says that it signifies the different meanings of the verses of the Shishastika. So the first verse that we've just read is about Shraddha. It signifies this stage of Shraddha. In other words, this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally telling us, if you take up the practice of Sankirtan properly, this is what will happen. You should believe him. That's what Shraddha. You should be convinced about this. We may not experience that much, but here Lord Chaitanya is saying it. This, if you are practicing this Sankirtan, then this will be the sequence of things that will happen. Chito Darpana Majram. You will see the dirty things in the heart begin to disappear. You'll begin to start to feel free from all the troubles and anxieties of material existence. Then gradually you'll be the awakening of your relationship with Krishna. You'll start to not be alone ever again because Krishna is always with you, and that will start to fructify and so on. So this is why this signifies Shraddha. Lord Chaitanya, one should have this faith to begin. And then the second verse, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes it as sadhu sange anartha nirvritti, removing the unwanted things from the heart in the association of devotees. So he takes these next two steps, sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya, as included there to get to anartha nirvritti. And then, and so on, you can see here, and we'll tie the Nishta Bhajana Chunada Pisini, then being steady. This describes the state of steadiness, the third verse, and so on. So this is the meaning of this first verse. Interestingly enough, so here's Prabhupada's translation, and I discovered when I was looking at different editions of The Harmonist. The Harmonist was the Gaudiya Mutt's English language flagship publication in English. And I discovered in the 1935 February 14th edition, Valentine's Day, actually, a translation of the Shishastika. And so the first verse they titled "The Sevenfold Efficacy of Chanting the Holy Name." I remember that Bhaktisiddhanta was the editor of this magazine, so everything had his approval. So it goes, this is how they translate it. "May the chanting of the holy name of Sri Krishna be glorified." Again, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. In English, you have to put that first. "This chanting, one, sweeps off all the dirt from the mirror of our hearts. Two, extinguishes the great forest fire of suffering in the cycle of births and deaths. Three, sheds moonlight upon the night-blooming lily of eternal good." Shreya, eternal good. "Four, is the very life," with a capital L, "of the bride of real learning. Five, swells the ocean of ecstatic bliss. Six, gives the full taste of pure nectar at every utterance of the holy name." So that one was pratipadam. So every time you say the holy name, you get a taste, the full nectar. And seven, bathes, purifies and refreshes the whole self, body, mind and soul, in divine bliss. This is really quite nice one here. Body, mind, and soul. Because this is what happens. You're completely absorbed in this incredible bliss that usually, to get that in the material world, the closest people come to it is some kind of sexual or drug-induced state of being. That's so totally powerful, but it's temporary, it leaves, and you're disappointed, and it contaminates you, makes you greedy and selfish, and so on. And really, the trouble with sense gratification of any kind is it forces us to identify ourselves more and more deeply with the material body. That's the problem with it. When I was newly moved into the temple, we used to get a mail out from this Swami Lakshmi Devi, who had a yoga camp in the Poconos Mountain north of Philadelphia. And she used to send us her flyer that said, "Enjoy, but in a spirit of renunciation." This is cheating. And she showed a really good-looking yoga guy with a really good-looking yoga girl, you know. This is cheating religion. Kaitava Dharma, people say like that. That's the problem with material enjoyment, is it cements our false identification of the self with the material body, and therefore is the cause of all suffering. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, "Yehi samsparsaja bhoga dukkha yona evate." Those pleasures which arise from the contact between the senses and the objects are in fact the source of all suffering. So that's just a fact of life. But here we see this very intense ecstatic emotions, which you rarely see somebody that much absorbed in happiness in the material world, unless it's quite temporary. And when we see it, it's rather contaminating. Here, it purifies. So that's what it says here. Bathes, purifies, and refreshes the whole self, body, mind, and soul, in divine bliss. So this is the promise of this verse. Maybe I'll see if we have any questions about this one. I mean, this is a short ride in a fast machine, to get through all of this. And yeah. Yeah, that is the way it is given here. I mean, this is written by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is, you know, several, two generations after Mahaprabhu, he writes it down. But based on what he knew and saw, this shows Ramananda Roy, in this chapter, Lord Chaitanya is talking to Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, and he's reciting these verses.
So when the verses, so Lord Chaitanya, at the time when Lord Chaitanya was here, though, did he write
it down? I don't know. They're given this way in here. Krishnadas Kaviraj had access to was all of the notes that were taken down by Swarup Damodar. These and whatever the testimony was passed on from Ramananda Roy and to the six Goswamis. And so he, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he states their understanding of Mahaprabhu. It's very different from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur's. That's very, very emotional and not very much philosophy. But here, we have Mahaprabhu as he is understood and seen by Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and so on. And he was sent there by in a dream by Nityananda, and then learned from them, and then in his very old age, he was writing this this Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is just what's in that last chapter. And that this is how it says. So he is reciting them that way. Scholars who are not devotees think that they were composed at different times by Mahaprabhu, but somehow or other. Because you can see that the first one is kavya, it's very high literary poetry. The second one is quite different. I mean, it's poetry, but in its verse, but it's a different meter. It's not the same sort of kavya, you know, with all the rhymes and stuff like that. And so the meters change here, so that's why they would think that this is something that verses spoken by him at different times, that somebody else may be assembled in this order. But anyway, by the time we get it, it's been given this way. And I assume that what Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote, he had the vision to see what was going on, even though he was coming after Mahaprabhu. That's how they show up in the Shishastika prayers. And you notice they fit very nicely. I mean, they are quite progressive, and they when you see them in this way and understand them, it quite nicely describes in a nutshell the whole of the progress of Sankirtan. Yeah.
Many times it's said, or at least I've heard, that the Shishtashtakam are, you know, the only instructions that are left behind by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, it is said. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
Bhayaharidas.
Huh?
Bhayaharidas.
Bhayahari? Bhayaharidas. He said that these are the only teachings left by Lord Chaitanya. That's the only thing we have that composed by him. That these are given as verses that he actually composed, that have come down to us. He may have composed other things, but they have not given to us as authoritative. Very interesting that this happened, because, you know, he was in his youth a professor of Sanskrit grammar. After he was initiated and began to exhibit all, reveal himself as taking on the full role of a devotee in a state of ecstasy, he didn't bother to be a grammarian anymore, gave his teachings or instructions orally to Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy. All these people had his association or heard what he said. And then Swarup Damodar kept notes. He wrote things down. But I don't think those notes have survived. But they were the basis of much of what's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as far as I understand it. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita is an incredible book. To have taken this, all the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, and conveyed them in this way to people, in such an authoritative manner, it's just very few books ever come up to that that standard. Especially when you have a single author. You know, the Bible is assembled, the Vedas are assembled, all these things, but here is one single author who's done something like this. It's quite something. Even Vyasadeva was an editor. Anything else?
Harinam asked, what about that bride, the conjugal reference? Mm-hmm. Is Radha hiding out in the first verse?
Yeah. He's asking what if he wants to know something more about this Vidyavadu Jivanam, conjugal. Intimation. That's the metaphor he's using this here. This indicates the stage of. Let's see where are we? Excuse me. So this indicates. I've got too many papers here. This indicates ruchi. That's right. This indicates. The beginning of ruchi means a taste for Krishna consciousness, which is also described, will be described in the third verse of the Shishastika prayers.
What do you mean?
Na danam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va, jagadisham. Excuse me, the fourth verse, yes, ruchi. In the what?
This Vidyavada Jivanam is in the first verse, so how is it?
It's in the first verse, but it also it's Chetu Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahada Vamina Mahadam Shreya Kailava Chandika Vijayavadu Jivanam. Asakti.
Did you mention
Vidyavadi Jiva? It is, but
Radharani
appearing. No, it doesn't necessarily mean Radharani, but it is in fact the life of the bride of real learning. In other words, this is the beginning of the awakening of an actual relationship with Krishna. If because here, vidya, knowledge of how to serve Krishna, knowledge of the beginning intimations of one's relationship with Krishna. This begins at this stage of ruchi, when in that verse in the Shishastika, the fourth verse, which indicates that stage. It's a prayer. Bhavata bhaktiya haituki tui. Let there be. I don't want dhanam. I don't want wealth. I don't want janam. People. Meaning whatever relatives, disciples, you know. Admission to exclusive clubs. Whatever kind of janam may be there. Followers is translated here, sundarim kavitamba, we'll get into this, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activity described in flowery language. Kavita, sundarim kavita, literally means beautiful verses, or beautiful learning, or here it is, Sundarim can be taken separately here as it does. Or maybe a very highly educated, beautiful woman, too.
So, in this first verse, are there more references to future verses?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because it takes you, this is the beginning, it takes you through the whole process. It looks forward to. If now, here's the chanting of the Hare Krishna. So it's Shraddha in one sense, that stage of Shraddha. But the stage is you should believe him when he says that you, this is what will happen. Yeah, so it looks ahead at the rest of the poem, the rest of the verses rather, of the Shishastika. Because of the Shishastika prayers take us through there. Because we just look up as a little overview of the whole thing here. The second verse is about the removal of anartas, and we'll discuss this one a little more detailed. The third one, Trinada Pisunichayas, when that verse accomplishes what it's supposed to, then there is nishta. One is fixed in Krishna consciousness. Because these are the things by which kirtaniya sadahari, that it makes it possible for there to be perpetual chanting. That's the fixedness. When there is Trinada Pisunichaya, by means of these things, then you will become fixed up. Then the fourth verse is this ruchi, taste for Krishna consciousness, the natural taste for Krishna consciousness. Let there be a haituki bhakti, bhakti without any desire for anything else, neither wealth, nor followers, nor high education, or fruitive activities. Kavita meaning those verses of the Vedas which describe fruitive work. We'll discuss a little more in detail when we get to that, why there are different readings there. Mama Janmini Janmani Swari, let there be in my life birth after birth. So even rejecting liberation. Just if I have bhakti for you, then I don't care if I take birth again and again, just so long as I have that. I'm not even doing it for liberation. So all personal benefits, either material or spiritual, are rejected because this bhakti is so wonderful, that's all I want. So therefore this is this stage of ruchi. This is what it means to have a taste for Krishna consciousness. And then, Ainanda Tanuja, now we're switching to the second half, is a little, is now the perfectional stage. And here's the transition, just like the first verse, they kind of parallel each other. The first verse is the transition from not being a devotee to becoming a devotee. That's Shraddha. And here, the transition from sadhana to sadhya is in the first verse. Fifth verse, is in the fifth verse. So that stage is called Krishna Asakti. And in the sixth verse, where it's describing the astasattvika vikara, the transformations of ecstasy, nayanam galudashur dayaya varanam, the tears are flowing from my eyes, the voice is choked, trembling. These astasattvika vikara, one set of the symptoms of ecstasy. So this is bhava, that stage is called bhava. And then the last two verses are prema. So two verses are dedicated to prema. Very profoundly, the first being prema in separation, which is highly significant, and then finally prema in union. Vipralamba prema, separation, and sambhoga prema, which has got separation kind of mixed up in it. So that's all foreshadowed in the first verse of the Shishastika. But you see why this is the sequence of these verses, why they're put in this order, because they fit together very, very exactly in this way. So from this first verse, we get an overview of the whole, while the first verse itself indicates that first stage of having this Shraddha, this confidence, that this will happen. And one should, this is the process, and you can say, well, what are my doubts about it? Well, I've seen so many devotees begin and not get very far, I've seen people practice and not happening. Yeah, well, that happens, but then we can also, with the education we've been giving, we can be like doctors. You know, you have to take this medicine, you have to take it the right way, and if something's going wrong, it's not happening, it's not curing you of the material disease, what are you doing wrong? Like a physician, you can say, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. And the main thing in Krishna consciousness, this is the whole process. This is the process we are beginning and committing ourselves to. One should try to make progress. Really, what we have to worry about is what is, for me personally, the next step. Wherever I am along this thing, All I really have to be concerned with is what I need to do next. Some people can get along pretty far and then can fall back again. But anybody who's sincerely trying to become better and improve, is that's how they're to, which we should judge ourselves. Sincerely trying to become better. Because you can get fairly advanced, and if you stop making progress forward, your tendency is that you'll start sliding backwards too. Stasis is not very secure until we reach the highest stage. But once one gets up to, as I said, once one gets to the point of nishta, it's rare that somebody falls down, but can still happen. Actually, one should never feel oneself secure. That's a fact, anyway. But then. Any other questions? We've gone a little over time now already. Or comments?
Would you have a soft copy of this?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a soft copy of this that you could share?
A soft copy?
Yeah.
Like a Word document?
Yeah, if you want electronic, we can send it to you. You give the email address to Shraddha after class. He can send you all this stuff in a soft copy. I can make some more things available. I didn't have in the handout this translation from the Harmonist. This, by the way, I've done a little editing on it. By the way, just for English language purposes, they have put in the right diacritics and everything like that, which they didn't have in the Harmonist and that kind of stuff, but it's there. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
What's on the mic?
Oh, here's a microphone.
So I was wondering about the term Sri Krishna Sankirtanam in the first verse of Sahasrakam. Prabhupada's translating Sri Krishna Sankirtan is congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, mm-hmm. of Krishna. And I was thinking, is that mainly the process for progress in Krishna consciousness? But then I was thinking, well, there's devotion service, which is 6,009 aspects.
Yeah. Sri Krishna Sankirtana is the process for this age. Because in this chapter, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu has quoted that verse that's been given in the Bhagavatam, describing what is the process for Kali Yuga. And Krishna Varam Tusha Krishnam Sangupanas Yajnai Sankirtana Prayara. So this is, he quotes this to say that in this age, one will that's the Yuga Dharma. That's the method for this age. So it's being described. So this is Sankirtan in the sense of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And of course that verse also predicts the coming of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Varnam. You can also understand it. The syllables Krishna and Tusha Krishnam. He is Krishna Varnam also means his Varna is Krishna. His caste is that of God. That's his Varna, his category. He's in the category of God, but. Tusha Krishna, but doesn't show up as God, but that is a devotee of God. I mean, there's many multiple meanings in that indicate Lord Shiva. Or his color is not black. Krishna. So, but he is reciting these syllables, Krishna. So he gives us this. He gives us the Maha Mantra as the way of chanting the names of Krishna, and that's also Sankirtan, to cultivate, to chant, to take just that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and chant it until it reaches, that chanting reaches its full perfection. That's also Sankirtan. That's when that full or complete chanting, just the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. All of this is in those three syllables when they're cultivated properly. That's also part of it. And that san also means that if we would do it in the sense of in the association of devotees, this is it is a social exercise. The six Goswamis, they were Babaji's, they were like recluses, but they hung out together. They were associated with each other. So this association of devotees in this age is required. Especially if you're going to hear and chant about Krishna, who are you going to hear from and who are you going to talk to? I mean, you gauge your senses in Krishna's service, that full engagement of the senses only takes place in association of devotees. And if you have a recluse, that means you're reclusing yourself from all those people who you cannot fully engage your senses in Krishna's service in that way. Okay.
Prabhu, this may be a little bit of on a tangent, but you mentioned the word Krishna Varnam, Shri Krishna. And so I was also reading somewhere that the translators who translated this verse before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used this verse to predict the coming of Krishna. They translated in a way that, you know, like Sridhar Swami translated in a way that it's the prediction of Krishna.
Also, Lord Ramchandra.
Also, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Krishna has a Sadbhuj six-arm form, Lord Chaitanya has a six-arm form, which indicate all three. He revealed himself, the house of Shivas, Thakur, with a six-arm form. One, he had two Sadbhujas, with two hands of Krishna playing a flute, two hands with the bow and the arrow of Lord Ramchandra, and two hands holding the danda and the water pot of a sannyasi as Lord Chaitanya. Right? So he is, all three are there. So therefore all of those are referred to in that verse. So before he came, right after this verse is spoken by Karabhajana, then there are verses, Mande Maha Purusha Charanaravindam, which has been understood as referring to this Maha Purusha there as Lord Ramchandra by Sridhar Swami and others. But it comes right after that verse, which is describing the avatar for Kali Yuga. So anyway, That's the understanding that all three of these can be described by that verse. But here, this is given here, understood by everybody to refer to Lord Chaitanya, as well as, yeah, that doesn't mean it doesn't refer to other people as well. I mean, the verses in the Bhagavatam can have many, many meanings, and they're not mutually exclusive sometimes. So it doesn't mean... And generally, the general principle is if two great authorities say different things, somehow your idea is to find out how they're both right. That's the general hermeneutical principle. Yeah, who else... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good. That's the point. The point is that in the beginning, we tell everybody, join in and chant. We're having Harinam on the street and some drunks come in and chant. We're very happy that they're doing that. But then if you want to make progress, then there's a process to follow. And we have to follow that process. And when we follow the process, we will follow the word sadhana means that process, that practice. You follow the sadhana, then there'll be sadhya. Then there'll be the perfection. So it has to be cultivated. The name has to be cultivated. Because that's just our unfortunate condition. So the mean, but the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is both means and ends. The nature of material existence is the means is one thing and the ends is another thing. The means is you get a job and you work, but the end is different. You stop working and you just enjoy, you know. So there's always a different of means and ends. But here, the means and the ends are the same. So we chant Hare Krishna in order to be able to chant Hare Krishna. And when we succeed in the perfection of chanting Hare Krishna, it means we don't stop, but we really chant Hare Krishna. So at the very beginning, you're introduced to the end, but now you have to go through this process of becoming purified. And as we do so, we're doing what we're always doing, but what we're doing becomes revealed to us as Krishna, our activities become revealed to us, Krishna becomes revealed to us, and we become revealed to ourselves, because we don't know, right now they've got this temporary material body, and we conventionally say, this is me, but actually in relationship to Krishna, I have an identity. And as Krishna becomes more and more clear, who I am in relationship to Krishna also becomes revealed at the same time. So I find out who I am also. All these things are happening by this perfection of Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Yep. And it's all in these little verses, packed in there very tightly. Okay. We should stop for this evening. We've gone a little over time. And so next Wednesday, same time, same place. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Sankirtanam ki jai.
Do you have any homework for us for the week? Do you have any homework for us?
Homework? Yeah, read through this. And if you need any more documents or something, we have some more stuff. But I suggest you look at this Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, chapter 20, and read through that. That's a nice dose of reading, actually. But just get started anyway. And notice, by the way, what how it tells you what Lord Chaitanya feels. I mean, we're going to, for most of our purposes, we'll deal mostly with the first half, right? And some of the second half. But there's much to be learned about this, and I find it very, very helpful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I've been listening to other sort of lectures on the IIT defeating Mayavad.